Hello guys, welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to day one at US Open.
Day one, Lucy.
Wow. It did not feel like day one.
It's a Sunday start, that's why.
That Sunday start has just put me off. I feel like it's still fan week. Maybe because also for us, we only had two matches.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it's that. And also, because it's a three-day start, I mean, there's fewer matches during the day. And the grounds had a lot of empty courts. Well, not when I say empty courts, I mean, there wasn't any matches. Like, players were using the courts to
practice
and stuff. So, I guess that was fine. How did you find
I'm
the first
not a fan.
Day?
Like I said, I was moaning on the way in. I was like, Lucy, I don't like the Sunday start.
Yeah.
But obviously, once you get here, it's fine. Like, you kind of get lost in like the excitement of it all. And like you said, because we only had two matches to focus on,
mm-hmm.
it did feel like a long day. And they were quite spaced out as well. So we had Ben first on Ash.
Yeah.
That was at 12. And then Paolini was opening the night session.
Yeah.
So we had a long wait basically between the two matches. But
mm-hmm.
it's been a good day though, man. Like,
for sure.
Obviously, it's always special being here. How have you found it?
Yeah. I mean, just like I said, like, I'm not really like it was just really weird having it. It was kind of slow, but yeah.
So let's talk about the first match. So Ben Shelton opening Ash.
Yes.
Against the Peruvian qualifier, Ignacio Busse.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know how to say his name correctly. I thought it was a good match. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, Ben was pretty much locked in from ball one, which you would expect. Didn't really look troubled to me.
I think I felt like there was a little bit more of like errors coming from his side, especially the first set. I think after the first set, he got more comfortable.
Okay.
I think the first set, but which makes sense. I mean, the first set and stuff. But yeah, the first set, he looked a little bit like there was sometimes the shots were getting a little bit long. And to be fair, his opponent was serving really well as well, which I think that's why at the beginning it was very hard for him to break.
Yeah.
I think people are now realizing that they also need to serve as big as he does. Because the first set, his opponent had a higher first serve percentage win. But yeah, I think after that first set, he felt comfortable. I knew going to this match anyways, he was going to win the match in straight sets. So
yeah.
I wasn't too like worried about it.
I was pretty confident. I was giving you the score. Like, I actually gave you a proper score. I said 6-3, 6-2, 6-3. And I was very, very close to getting that like bang on. Obviously, it was 6-4 in the third set. But I think to go back to what you were saying about Ben, like in his kind of overall play, I thought he served quite well. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think with it being kind of early in the day as well, like the ball is like more lively because it was fairly warm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that always helps. Like when you're a big hitter,
yeah.
And obviously Ben is a big hitter,
yeah.
And that does kind of complement the serve as well,
yeah.
But credit to Busse, like he did,
for sure.
He held his own, like
he did.
And I think coming through qualifying as well,
mm-hmm.
it's been a good run for him, like.
Mm-hmm.
Winning three matches to get into the main draw.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to go away from this pretty happy.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about him coming in.
So me either, yeah.
Even going to his press, like, I wasn't even sure if he spoke English, but one of the Peruvian journalists said that, yeah, he literally went to college in the States.
Mm.
So, which I did not know. And yeah, really, really pleasant guy. Like, it was nice kind of chatting to him after the match. But just in terms of Ben, I like... He just seemed like very like locked in.
Yeah, he seemed very focused.
And that for me is like it's just a good sign. Like, obviously he's the sixth seed as well.
Yeah.
Like, top 10 player now,
mm-hmm.
and well established in the top 10. Like,
yeah.
He's not there by accident. Like, it's justified,
mm-hmm.
basically. So, mm-hmm. and I just love that for him.
Yeah.
And he's living up to it, basically.
Yeah.
And I love what he said as well at the end. So James Blake interviewed him on court after the match.
Yeah.
Basically he said something along the lines of like, oh, like you must be kind of excited about like what's ahead in terms of, you know, looking to make a deep run. And Ben was like, basically, yeah, I'm just literally taking it round by round. Like, and I love that answer because, of course, I think deep down, he's expected to go far, but he's just keeping things, you know, on a, I say surface level, like it's just not getting too high in terms of like expectations.
Yeah.
And I like that. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about his press?
Yeah, his press was pretty good.
Always pretty busy.
Yeah, it was pretty busy. Lots of lightning questions. I think the one that stood out for me was about, obviously, as you guys know, the themes are Thea Gibson, breaking barriers. And there was a question related to that and, you know, how the impact of that has put into him or even his dad as well. And he shared like a really good answer. And this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I think that, you know, my dad has a great outlook on things because as difficult as things were for him, he always thought that he was in control of his own destiny and he didn't want to handicap himself by thinking he was behind anyone else, whether it was getting into a great college and finishing a very difficult engineering degree or being a professional tennis player. I mean, yeah, there's moments in that where he's told me stories of tournaments that he showed up, played, even won as a young kid, and then when he tried to enter the next year, they didn't let him play. So yeah, it's not something that I'm blind to or he's blind to. Like those things are real. But at the same time, you know, he had a pretty good career as a player, as a student, and now as a coach. So he's always thought he was in control of his own destiny, and I think he proved that.
But yeah, that was a very, very touching answer. Mm. I think also mainly because Shelton doesn't really speak on race as much, but mainly because people don't bother actually asking him. I think sometimes the media has not really, I really like to pick and choose when they want to remember that he's, you know, considered as like an African American or mixed or, you know.
Mixed heritage, yeah.
Exactly. So.
But I think credit to him though, because he does. I'll never forget during it was a Houston final last year when he beat Francis Tiafoe.
Mm-hmm.
And he did reference the fact that, yeah, like Tiafoe for a long time has kind of been paving the way, like for, you know, black players on tour.
Yeah, that's true.
And I did like when he said that. So he doesn't shy away from
that. Oh, no, he doesn't.
Which is
I just
good.
Think he's not given the opportunity to speak more on that or cover on that.
Yeah.
Because believe me, like, there are people that remember his race and what it is when he's not doing as well. Like, I remember reading a comment on IG that literally, out of like being racist and stuff, being like, oh, this, what are you calling him? He said something, but called him Denzel, as in Denzel Washington.
Shocking.
So, yeah, the people know what it is, but yeah, it was nice for him to at least share that. But again, I just like the fact that he has his dad there and a black man that's helping and like covering and everything. So yeah, so it was really dope. So who does he have next round?
So he's got a Spaniard, Pablo Carreño Busta,
nice.
Who also won in straight sets. So he beat a fellow Spaniard in straight sets today. So they won't play now until Wednesday. So we'll get 2 days off.
2 days off, yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of lastly, to go back on the whole like black player thing, it was quite nice. It was today they were acknowledging black players from the past. So they had basically a booth. It was like a section on Ash where they had, our London crew. They had a section where, you know, they had players, black players from the past, all I think retired now. Mm. And in there you had Katrina Adams. There was a funny moment actually, they showed Katrina Adams on the screen. and like obviously she waved and like acknowledged the crowd's applause. And then next to her, they said it was Leslie Allen when it wasn't Leslie Allen. So that was a bit of a funny moment, a bit of a blooper by the US Open. apparently Leslie Adam was in the players' lounge watching the match. Mm-hmm. She wasn't actually in the suite. So
and her phone was just buzzing off. What's going on?
So that was a funny, unfortunate, but yeah, funny moment. But I think just on like we were saying with Ben, like it's just good to see him like at this level, and it's again so powerful to see that his dad, obviously being a former pro, but now his coach. And like, just what a life that is, like to be coaching your son, who's now a top 10 player. Like that is just fantastic.
For sure. Yeah. Looking forward to his next round.
No, definitely. Yeah. Just on Ignacio as well. I did go to his press conference and just, I wanted to basically get his feedback on what it was like to play someone like Shelton in terms of, you know, being a lefty and the big serve. This is what Ignacio said.
The baseline, I felt comfortable. The thing is that his serve, it's amazing. The ball comes not only fast, the variety of the slices, the kicks. I didn't know how the ball was coming. So, I don't know. I thought it was coming a slice, and then suddenly the ball went, like, I don't know, 5 meters behind the baseline. So it's very difficult. It's not only that it comes fast. It comes like every ball different, and that's the difficult thing.
Cool. So yeah, that was Ignacio, just basically talking about getting the different looks. And I kind of did say when we were speaking about Shelton, the way he was playing, you did say he was serving pretty well.
Yeah, he was.
And I think that was a deliberate tactic as well, like not mm-hmm. giving him the same look in each serve.
Yeah.
So clearly it was effective, and it did work. Should we move on to Jazzy?
Yes.
Opening Louis Armstrong night session.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm letting you talk about that because I was busy doing some work. I couldn't
editing,
watch. Yeah.
I love Louis Armstrong, I'll just say that.
Yeah,
from the jump. Like,
I think after Arthur Ashe is definitely my favourite thing. It reminds me a bit of like, and it's funny because at Wimbledon, court one,
It's
my favorite.
As opposed to censor.
Yeah, for sure. The vibe is just different.
Yeah.
I think because of the way the stadium is built, it's more like intimate in a way. Like your clothes are, yet it's so big.
Yeah.
And you can hear, because it's indoors and outdoors in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear like the crowd really go crazy. So I think like it just gives like a nice proper vibe.
You've also got like crowds kind of walking, you know, around. Around the grounds, like as points are being played.
Yeah.
And I think that is a very like US Open thing.
Yeah.
But I think players are kind of, they've accepted now. Like mm-hmm. that's just part and parcel of playing US Open, which is cool.
Yeah.
To get back to Jazzy, just a very accomplished performance. Like, so she was playing the Australian qualifier, Destiny Iava.
Mm-hmm.
Iava. Apologies for butchering the name. But yeah, it's always tricky when you're playing a qualifier, I feel like, because obviously that qualifier has 3 matches under their belt, confidence is high, you know, reaching a main draw at a Grand Slam. But obviously Jasmine Paolini is a seeded player. She's the 7th seed this year. So, you know, expected to, you know, get through pretty comfortably.
Yeah.
And it was, to be fair, the first set was pretty comfortable, 6-2. Things got a bit tricky in the second.
I saw it on the screen.
Things got a bit tricky. So she actually got broken first at 2-1, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then she broke back immediately to make it 2-2 and then held serve up until the tie break. So 6-6. Jasmine then went 3 love up in the tie break.
Yeah.
Iava comes back, makes it 3-3. I think takes the lead of 4-3. And then Jasmine just took over from there. And I just thought to myself, yeah, that's kind of typical Jasmine Paolini. Like,
yeah.
You know, she kind of maybe lets her opponent think, oh, I've got a way in here. And then just like that, she'll take it back from you.
Yeah,
So again, she deserves massive credit because that could have been a tricky, like, encounter. That could have went to 3 sets.
Mm.
But I think the way Jasmine's playing now, or just the kind of the confidence she has these past 2-3 seasons, She knows how to like manage those types of matches.
Mm.
And that was kind of evident tonight, I thought. So I think she was pretty pleased as well, like with her performance. She was also wearing custom, it was definitely a night session kit, which we did post about. I don't know.
I haven't seen. Yeah, let's wait.
It's early. Maybe it's too early to say. It's
yeah, custom. It's too early. What was the vibe like?
In terms of
who were fans cheering for?
Oh yeah. It was definitely Jasmine. Like, okay. But I think, and again, I guess credit to the crowd too. They were kind of
just vibing and enjoying.
Yeah, but they were also cheering on Aiva, because there were some nice points she played. Like she hit like a wicked backhand win in the second set after like a nice rally as well, and the crowd went pretty crazy. And that was nice to see. Like they were getting behind her because I think at that point it was fairly even. Obviously, she was a set down, but she was still fighting.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah.
I think the crowd appreciated that, and obviously they want to see a long match.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, no, I thought the crowd were even, but like obviously everybody loves Jasmine, man. So I think the crowd are always going to be rooting for Jasmine Paolini, and we love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just in terms of I think Jasmine's level coming in, obviously she reached the final in Cincinnati, you know, hard court event. She's going to be pretty high in confidence, and I think the performance today showed that as well. Like she's got a lot of matches under her belt during this US hard court swing, and she's confident, and rightly so.
Yeah.
So I think that bodes well for her run kind of going forward.
Yeah.
I did attend both press conferences. So I did go to Destiny's first, just to kind of get an idea of like what she thought about the match and like the matchup. And I put a question to her basically saying how, for Jasmine being someone so small, like, how did it feel, you know, playing someone with so much power? And this is what she said.
Yeah, I was actually just saying that to my mom. Like, she had more power than you'd think with her being so small. But, I was kind of expecting it anyways because of how experienced she is, her ranking. You know, she's been there, done that. So, I think I did hold my own today, though. Maybe if I was a bit fresher, had an extra day of rest, I don't know, could have been different. Maybe if I didn't play at night, would have been a bit faster in the day, so I don't know.
So yeah, I mean, it wasn't a surprising answer, but I did find it funny how she said that, yeah, basically she was speaking to her mum about it, like literally, she said before she came to press, and was saying the same thing. So I think players are still, even though Jasmine's been she's been in the top 10 now for 2 years, but players are still kind of taken aback by, you know, when they actually get on court and like hit with her, because the ball is coming back at such a mad pace. So it's I
think it kind of makes sense though also, because she had her breakthrough last year, and I think not a lot of the top players, obviously because of her rankings as well, were able to play against her and know what she's like. So I think her results last year and her matches this year has allowed people to have, you know, a little bit of like an idea of what she's like. But even as a fan, years of watching her, I'm still taken back at some of the shots that Paolini makes.
Seeing her in person as well. Exactly.
Oh, it's honestly so good. So, so, so good.
Yeah, it's special. Very, very special. And again, I went to her press after as well. Always busy with Italians because she's the number one.
Listen,
the Italian
journalists, they don't play about their players. They don't play about the party. Like I will never forget Wimbledon. There was one time, I think we were going to a player's press or something, and all I remember is a bunch of like the Italian players watching Sinner's match against Dimitrov, I think, or Djokovic. Also, I can't remember one of them. I think it was Djokovic, and there was like 50 or 100 of them just in front of that screen. I'm like, nah, they're here rooting for their people.
They don't care about their
Jasmine. I can't blame them. Italian tennis is doing pretty well. So, will they do well at the US Open? We shall see.
We will. We definitely shall see. But yeah, I asked Jasmine about the Sunday start because she started on Sunday at the French Open as well. And I just wanted to kind of get her, I don't know, like her thoughts and opinions on like what it feels like to start on a Sunday. And this is what she said.
I don't know if I like it or not, but you know, I'm here from Monday night after the final in Cincinnati. So to me, it was good to play even on Sunday. I practiced a few days here, and Yeah, I have 2 days off now, which is a bit strange, but I'm not the only one, so it's okay. I mean, I just play.
So yeah, basically, again, very just relaxed, typical Jasmine Paolini. I feel like she's sorry guys, I'm laughing because guys are, they're basically being polite and not passing the camera as we record. So appreciate you. But yeah, she'll, like Ben, she'll get the 2 days off now, which I think she's grateful for. And I don't know, I think maybe as like fans or journalists, like we maybe make a bit too much of, you know, like the scheduling. I think players, they're pretty much used to how things work, especially at a Grand Slam. I do feel that way.
I don't agree. I think players also have a preference.
No, I think they have a preference, but like I feel like it's not a thing where they're like that bothered. Where I think we make a lot of it like in the press, I feel.
Are you forgetting that there was a player who made like a whole IG story? I think the scheduling thing is a thing for everyone and it affects everyone. Which is why I think you then have the big players like Djokovic who doesn't care because they've done their job and he can do whatever he wants. He can skip them 2 weeks type of stuff. For instance, but yeah, I mean, is obviously they can't, I think they just don't, out of respect, probably don't say as much, but I think behind the scenes, they definitely will be like, you know, like for instance, last year, Shelton and Francis Tiafoe, they were both surprised
that
their match was not a night match.
Day so, session, crazy.
Yeah, I think it just depends on it, but yeah.
Yeah, no, fair play. So yeah, that pretty much wraps up today in terms of the two matches.
Mm-hmm. Who do we have? Actually, you didn't say who Paolini's playing next.
Good point. So yeah, she'll play either Jovic, the American wild card. I think she's only 18.
Okay.
Or Alexandra Sasnovich, who's from Belarus. So they haven't played yet. They'll play on day two. So yeah, that's one to kind of keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have high hopes for Jovic. So we'll see how that one plays out. But I want to say they actually played each other in Miami, as in Paolini and Jovic. So, yeah, don't quote me on that, guys, because I've not got that. I didn't check that before coming on, so apologies. But, yeah, I think either way, that's two good matchups for 100%. Paolini, potentially. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about tomorrow or just leave it? So tomorrow we've got, it's going to be a longer day, Lucy, for us.
It really is.
It's going to be a much, much more.
It really is.
The match I'm most looking forward to is.
We might even pod at home when I'm thinking about it.
Well, to be fair, yeah.
Maybe, let's see.
Let's see how it goes. But the match I'm most looking forward to is Alicia Parks.
Wait, let's give the list first.
I don't actually have it because it's on my phone.
Oh, okay,
so
cool. I would love to say it, but I'm going to butcher the names. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pass you my phone.
Oh, stop it.
And you can actually say it because I don't like to pronounce the names. There we go.
Okay, first up is a big one, to be fair.
That's my match of the day.
Yeah, no, big one. So we've got the seeded Victoria Mboko playing the two-time Grand Slam champion, Barbora Krejcikova, first on. So that's an 11 o'clock start for us. We've also got Madison Keys playing Renata Zarazua, and that's going to be the first match on Ash. Francis Tiafoe follows Keys, and he's playing Yoshihito Nishioka. We've also got Taylor Townsend playing tomorrow against Antonia Rusic. Clavi Ngunu, another wild card, playing Anna Kalinskaya, who's a seed. Venus Williams, another wild card. Crazy matchup against the 11th seed, Karolina Muchova. Unfortunate,
crazy.
That one. Gabriel Diallo, 31st seed. Love that for him. Mm-hmm. He's got Demir Zuma of Bosnia. That's the last match on court 12. So that might clash with my match of the day, which is Alicia Parks versus Mira Andreeva, who I believe is a 5th seed.
Well, guys, if you are at the US Open tomorrow, you know where to catch Fuji because he's been mentioning this match.
No, I'm really looking forward to it. So it's going to be a very, very long day for us, but I'm looking forward to it, Lucy.
For sure.
Cannot wait, honestly.
I can't wait also. I think think that's it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A quick first day.
Day take one advantage at the Open.
Of it because tomorrow, ooh, ciao.
I think we need to mention actually. Shouts out to Anastasia.
Yes.
For the ones so we're on the Ground Pass podcast earlier today. We did speak about Serena Williams at the Tennis Hall of Fame. We have to just give a little bit of a.
Yeah, true. Since we haven't, like, yeah.
I mean, Lucy, iconic moment, and for me, it came out of nowhere. Like she said, surprise. Like, what were your thoughts?
I don't feel the hype and excitement and the wow like everyone else personally. Like, I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, this is nice. But like the way it's like, oh my god, this moment. I'm just like, yeah, okay, cool.
It's like, whatever.
You know what it is? I think it's also because I grew up watching them two really being rivals.
Mm.
And I think maybe I would have cared more if they haven't retired.
Okay.
I think doing this post-retirement, it's just like, okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
you get what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, of course, it makes sense. They're both mothers now. They're both, you know, they've grown. They've blah, blah, blah. And also, I am someone where you're either someone that I'm tight with or you're an op. And obviously, Sharapova, she hasn't done anything to me, but I am literally a massive Serena fan, and she was a Serena op. And the Serena op is my op. So
we forgive and we forget.
See, and that's the thing, Eugene. I do not do that. I'm like, it's either I love you or when you're done, they're done, isn't it? So it's hard for me to just be like, let me just forget about everything that's happened all of these years. Like, you know, a lot, some of your kids were not around during these times. So you won't understand why this is personal to me. No, I'm joking. But really, as a hardcore Serena fan, it's weird to now just be like, oh, yeah. Do you get what
no,
I mean?
No, that's fair.
I think it's still a nice moment for tennis. It just did not do it for me like everyone else.
I hear you.
I still feel like there's still that little rivalry, like just in there a little bit. Even though they're all like, oh, we're nice, we're friends now, we're mothers. I'm not buying it too much, you know. I'm actually not buying it. Like, you can't get me like that. But a shout out to Serena for putting up in it. Shout out to Serena for putting up. And
fair play. I just like the fact that, yeah, Maria asked Serena basically, and Serena accepted. Like,
I'm surprised that she asked Serena.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that. She's the GOAT. Like, I mean, that's pretty iconic, like I said. So you're being inducted into the Tennis Hall of Fame. That's a big deal. Like,
I mean, no, it's a big deal, but. For example, okay, you said that you didn't expect it, so you don't feel like...
So that's my point.
It's surprising that's to the point. Fact that she asked her,
The fact that you're being inducted into the Tennis Hall of Fame, what better way to do it than have the GOAT introduce you? I mean, that's pretty, like...
No, I'm not doubting that, but it's just the fact that it's coming from Sharapova. If it was another player, of course, but not everyone gets that opportunity anyways, because Serena doesn't like people that much. Serena's very, like, you know, she lacks her circle, basically.
Fair play. A brilliant moment, like, just for the game. And like you said, that era, like, what a time that was.
For sure.
Big shout out, and congratulations to Maria Sharapova too, because it's a big deal to be inducted into the Tennis Hall of Fame. Obviously, Serena's time will come.
Hold on, I just realized you just shouted her out for getting the...
Stop it. Serena's time will come. I think she'll become eligible in 2027. So you've got to have a certain amount of time in terms of time you've been retired in order to be eligible to be inducted.
I'm glad you explained that to me, because I was like, why?
Yeah.
Sharapova.
It makes sense, because obviously she's been retired for longer. So
yeah.
Serena's time soon come, which is mad when you think about it. She's going to be inducted before Big Sister. Because don't forget, Venus is still going.
Yeah.
At 45.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But no, a crazy time, man. But yeah, guys, that wraps up day one at the US Open. So we thank you for tapping in. Please keep liking, subscribing, interacting with us on socials as well. Like, it's so good to, like, yeah, chat to everyone on, like, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube as well. Like, we're seeing a lot of comments on YouTube, which is brilliant. So... yeah, and like, we just hope you're enjoying.
Shout out to the person who left a comment saying that my name is Lucy on the US Open. The moderator doesn't know me yet, guys.
He knows you, because he picks Lucy all the time. When he picks up her hand, he's picking Lucy. Young lady in the white cap. young lady with a what?
He just says young lady, young lady at the back. The white cap one was another moderator. To be fair, last year I felt like I was struggling to get his attention.
No, you got his attention. You definitely got his attention. So shouts out to
all right, guys, let's wrap this up.
But yeah, guys. Until tomorrow, we'll see you. We'll see you then.
Bye. Take care. You're so silly.